Good afternoon, and welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Reality. We're brought to you by the D'Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm, as always, joined by my co-hosts, Stacey and Myra. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Once again, Good afternoon.
You keep doing that, and I keep stepping into it.
Well, my brain keeps getting stuck for some reason. I'm always stuck in the morning mode. Well, each week we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. Do either one of you guys like scary movies? I know my wife doesn't.
I do not.
I heard something very interesting today on the radio about, I guess some parents took their kids out to see Madagascar 3, which if you've seen the first two, they're pretty funny. Oh. Well, unfortunately, when they got there, apparently the employees at the theater put the wrong reel on they started paranormal activities.
Oh my gosh. Those poor kids, they'll be traumatized forever.
I was going to say.
And so they were in the I guess the beginning scene, there's a body coming at the camera or something very scary, and so kids were running rampant and scared, and they're trying to get
the parents are
trying to get the kids out, and I said to myself, oh my goodness, they're traumatized for life.
Well, it's a good thing it's not 3D.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I guess it could be worse. There's a silver lining.
There is a silver lining. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of scary movies. Yeah. And I know Halloween's such a big deal around here, but I think scaring people is just not the nicest thing to do.
Well, I just said good luck with getting those kids to sleep that
exactly.
night.
Exactly.
And getting them to ever watch Madagascar again.
Really?
In the wrong way.
Oh, goodness.
Look at it in the wrong way. Well, anyway, we have some guests in the audience today. And Myra, Stacey, who do we have in our guest today?
Oh, my gosh. We've got a studio full of wonderful guests.
Yay.
I know. This is going to be awesome. And the central theme is going to be around leverage. So we've got Dallas Hamilton. She's the founder and CEO of Metro Atlanta Business Network. And she's going to be talking with us about leveraging social media.
Great. And then we have Angie Jenkins, and she helps business credits. And that's always a big issue when you're trying to start your business or if you're redefining your business.
And we also have Dixie Speck. She's the president of Solterra Landscape, and she's going to be talking about leveraging business visibility. So let's get started with you, Dixie.
Sure.
So talk with me a little bit about your business and how you got into doing what you do.
Well, as we were just talking prior to the show, this is my second career, my rebirth. Follow my passion. My original career was in engineering, and I loved that for the 12 years I was doing that, and went from there to being in landscaping and going back to school for that and then opening my landscaping business 13 years ago and growing from there.
Awesome, awesome. That's so good. I love stories about following passions because, you know, again, if you follow your passion, you're still working, but at least you love what you do. You
Absolutely.
Know? I know.
So landscaping school.
Yeah.
Is that like architectural school?
We learn more about plants than landscape architects learn.
Ooh, oh, wow. Interesting.
That's
so like a little horticulture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, more horticulture and landscape design.
Mm. Awesome. Now, I know you talk a lot about business visibility. Tell me why that's so important.
It's very important for not only to start growing your business, getting the jobs out there, but what I've been learning as we're growing and we are becoming more visible, instead of trying to find out how in the world do we find good employees and just struggling with that over the first several years, and suddenly it's like we have people just stumbling over themselves coming in our door wanting to work with us.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, how important it is to have great employees. So
that's
a visibility benefit that didn't really think about it.
I never would have thought that either. I'm always thinking from the client perspective, and the more visible you are, the more clients you get, but I didn't think about, because finding good people is the hardest part of running a business.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. And managing them, I'm sure, is always a challenge.
It's what keeps you up at night.
Yes,
yes it is. Now, I know alternatives to advertising. What kind of things have you used to increase your visibility other than just doing traditional advertising?
Right. And, of course, a startup and even still small businesses, it's so hard to afford advertising.
Right.
And advertising often is not targeted as it needs to be when you're first starting out. So we were fortunate to think about the or be introduced to a public relations or PR type of angle. And so we started out with networking in our industry, trade organizations, and being active in that. And that's surprising how that will help you get more business because you get referrals from other non-competitors that are in the same industry.
Right.
So that was very helpful from the beginning and continues to be.
Yeah.
And then also in the if you're a local targeted business, as we happen to be in the landscaping, going to those local chambers and business organizations, the where your target area, target clients may be, and then getting, you know, being active, attending, and people getting to know you. And that's led to a lot of business. But also, we started out early finding out about opportunities, like with Evening at Emory here in Atlanta, but with your local schools for further adult education, you know, or just classes that people could be interested in taking, and adults in taking the classes. So I started doing that for Evening for Emory on a landscaping class. That
Wow, that's interesting. Got,
so those of us who don't have a green thumb, is that what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly. I started talking from the soil level, which is important.
I like that.
That's right.
Starting the dirt.
That's yeah, getting the dirt.
That's awesome. I know you also mentioned the whole, you know, industry trade differentiators, because that's a big thing, too, because I know Stacey, Roger, and I were really big on collaboration and not necessarily competition. So, you know, by going to those industry events, I'm sure you're running into people that may be considered competitors, but they're, you know, I'm sure they're jobs that you can't take that you pass on to others, and you probably get the same benefit.
You I mean, we have really found that out, because there are businesses that are maybe medium level and doing pretty well, but and they don't have time or don't want the smaller jobs, but somebody just starting up would love the smaller jobs. And someone who's doesn't want to take those opportunities really appreciates having someone they can refer that smaller stuff to.
Awesome.
I just have one question. As your engineering background, has it been able to help you in landscaping in this aspect?
Absolutely. A lot of industries, I'm sure, that you wouldn't think they're very technical, for example, it's becoming more and more technical. So it's helped us in the field with understanding grading and drainage and understanding irrigation, outdoor lighting, you know, all of that. But also everything becoming so, you know, important with having computer and software applications to help you run your business more efficiently and more intelligently. Because I came from that background in the engineering world, I mean, we're even able to develop our own spreadsheets and software and, and sort of be far ahead of where business by size might be in running their operations.
That's great.
I know, competitive advantage, differentiate yourself in the competition, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you can always use your background from before, you know, when you start over again.
Absolutely. don't we know that?
We all know that, yes. Our past lives, right?
Exactly.
So, Angie Jenkins, the credit the credit score queen, as we call her. So, talk about your business. How did you get into it?
I got into it because I had some adversities myself. Back in about 2002, I was laid off from a job, and I was unemployed and underemployed for 2 years back then.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know how that goes when you lack of income. Your bills are past due. And, of course, then I ultimately had a foreclosure and a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. But soon after that, I was able to increase my credit scores without the credit repair. And the things that I learned, I was just shocked, amazed that people are not teaching what it is that I learned. And so that's how I got into the business. Mm. My background is a trainer anyway. So I took it upon myself to start a business and start training small business owners on how to increase the credit scores without credit repair.
Hmm. That's intriguing.
So I love the fact that you do training, because a lot of times business owners will go to seminars or those kind of things and they get a lot of information, but they never know how to implement and execute what they learned. And that's one thing I really appreciate as we work with small businesses to say, hey, go to Angie. She'll be able to teach you how to maintain that, because I'm sure that's a maintenance issue, right?
Too? It is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned training people. So how exactly do you teach them? I guess without the credit repair aspect, my business banking background can't put the two together.
Well, my training background was in actually technology. So okay. I love technology and IT. So I actually trained them via webinars and things like that, or mm-hmm. live speaking events.
Okay.
Or teleconferences, things like that.
Gotcha.
And you have some of them in like workbooks. So they're really spending the time working on the.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And so the other thing is that you do a lot of speaking engagements. Tell us how that's been working for you in diversifying your business.
That has been working great. When the people actually see me, or when my face is in the place, that is when I get the clients.
Sorry. I'll be quiet.
No, that was great.
That's actually when the audience, mm-hmm. you know, when they see me, that's when they definitely want to start learning about mm-hmm. how to increase their credit scores without the credit repair. So it's definitely helping in that way.
Well, and then you've lived it too.
So exactly.
And I think that's as a huge benefit for not just you've read it and you're trying to teach it again, but you've been through that process. I think right. that makes a big difference. As Myra talks about her past experience, my past experience, that grows you.
You're
and
right.
Even with Dixie, that grows you to that next level of credibility.
Exactly.
To show, hey, I can move forward and have great resources to know what I'm doing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, how exactly does your service differ from traditional credit repair, you know, when you're sending out the letters and doing all that stuff?
Well, that's one of the differences, is that I don't send out the letters. Mm-hmm. I don't even teach how to send out the letters. We're mm-hmm. doing everything with regard to learning the FICO credit scoring model
right.
and then taking the different actions to increase your credit score. Mm-hmm. Also, certain actions decrease your credit scores, and a right. lot of people don't know that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching that as well.
Right. Interesting.
Oh, and what kind of actions? Yeah, I don't understand that one. where they decrease the value. Why is that? Do you know?
And that is because, you know, a lot of people assume, and I'll give you an example. A lot of people assume that a balance transfer or credit card balance transfer will increase their credit score.
Mm.
And actually, that particular action decreases your credit score in two ways.
Hmm.
So I teach why it does, and then I teach also don't do it.
Yeah,
right.
that's so important.
Now, is there a certain credit score, a number, a magic number that you recommend? I know from banking, I kind of knew what, you know, of course, we never told clients that you have to have this X amount because there are a lot of different factors that play. But is there a number that people should be shooting for?
Yes, I tell people to shoot for 760.
Okay.
I know a few years ago it was way lower than that.
I know it used to be 720 was a magic number, but
right.
that's changed.
Back then it was 680, 720, 750, I believe, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now 760, it seems like it's the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
And most lenders, if you are at around 760, you can definitely get approved with low
right.
interest rates and things like that.
Right. Well, awesome. I know. Well, that's a great way. I know most business owners out there, you know, especially if they've started a business from scratch, they inevitably have some of those initial, you know, first couple of years humps that they have to go through. So knowing this information to be able to leverage
yes.
Their credit to be able to grow their business would
that's
be
right.
helpful for a lot of people. So wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I
do have one question. I you know, somehow my brain is starting, still trying to catch up. That's just, I'm old school, okay. So I do have, what is the biggest misnomer about what you do versus the credit, just credit repair in general? Because a lot of people, you know, get this impression that, you know, your credit can be repaired overnight and all of this stuff.
Wow,
and,
yeah.
and I know good and well that it does take time. At least I do know that much, but. What's the biggest misnomer about that?
The biggest misnomer, like you said, is that it can be repaired overnight. And mm-hmm. no, it cannot. Now, you can increase your credit scores anywhere from 30 to 45 days, depending on what actions you take,
mm-hmm.
and as long as 90 days. But overnight, no, that will not work.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those credit repair services, I mean, you know, banks are on to that. So they have their, every time something new comes out, they have a way to kind of mitigate that risk, and they know when somebody's using that, the credit repair in the traditional sense.
That's right, yes.
You know, increase scores in a short-term basis. So good information. Dallas.
Yes.
Talk to us about how we leverage social media to grow our businesses.
Well, I do a little bit of all kinds of social media. My main focus is LinkedIn. That's probably the one I can speak the most on.
Right.
You know, LinkedIn is the largest social network in the world for professionals. It's not as big as Facebook, but you don't get all the dysfunctional nieces and nephews and all that. Now, and we all know that's true. In fact, I'm on Facebook now. I have a business page as well as a personal page.
Well, you beat me.
I avoided Facebook for the longest time because I didn't see it as professional.
Right.
And so I started building my network on LinkedIn. But what happened was people that were connected to me on LinkedIn started finding me on Facebook. And so I started connecting to them. Before long, I ended up taking my brothers and my sisters, of which I have seven, off of my Facebook account because they were putting some crazy stuff up there.
Right.
I mean, just like weird stuff. And I thought, man, all these professional people I'm connected to are going to look, and it's not going to be long before they figure out that's family, right? So they got mad at me, but I actually started spending more time on Facebook once when I got locked out of LinkedIn. If you do a lot of connecting on LinkedIn, it's a filter that they have in because they think you're spamming even when you're not.
Oh, wow.
And so they locked me out for, usually it's just a couple days and then they'll let you back on, but I was locked out for a week, so I was kind of upset about that, and I said, well, let me spend some time on Facebook, and that's when I realized how powerful Facebook could be as well. But like I said, my main focus is on LinkedIn. My daughter Janelle and I started our company, Metro Atlanta Business Network, about 2.5 years ago. We had actually just moved to Atlanta, had been here not quite a year. Was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I was either going to sell antiques to interior designers or I was going to be a paid professional speaker because I'd been very involved with Toastmasters. But a series of events turned my path. And part of that was I came across LinkedIn and started playing with it. And I thought, oh, this is really neat, you know. And I just moved here and didn't have a job yet, but I said this would be a great way for me to start meeting other professionals. So that's how I got started on LinkedIn. And then another long story, but I'll make it very brief. I was in a wheelchair at the time because 5 days after moving to Atlanta into our home, I fell down the stairs and got hurt very badly.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was more upset about not being able to get out into Atlanta because we had come from a military family. My husband was a retired Air Force pilot who had retired from Warner Robins, and we moved here. And so I'm thinking I am going to hit the ground running in Atlanta. Right. Nobody's going to be able to move us again. And boom, here I fell down the stairs and broke both my legs and both my ankles and had all these surgeries, torn rotator cuff. So I found myself in a wheelchair for a while. So I told my husband, well, if I can't get out in Atlanta, bring me a laptop and I'll figure out what's going on in Atlanta. So as I heal, I'll be able to know where to go, where to dine, where to shop. And came across LinkedIn, and I said, well, you know, this is a good way for me to start meeting people. So as I healed from my injuries and was able to get out and drive again, I started meeting people that I had connected to on LinkedIn.
Wow.
And it's kind of funny. Everybody just kept telling me, well, you don't have a job yet. You know, why are you on LinkedIn? I said, well, I'm trying to figure it out. I've got a couple options, but I'm not in a hurry. We just got a brand new house, and I've got to settle in and, you know, just keep watching my LinkedIn wall, and you'll eventually see some title up there. But then what started happening were people started telling me, well, you know, you would be really good at doing networking events. And I said, why do you say that? Well, for somebody that's new here in Atlanta, you sure know where to dine and where to shop. And because I'd been researching all this, even though it was mostly online.
Right.
And I said, networking events? Oh, no, I don't want to do networking events. That was like the furthest thing from my mind, you know. And but it kept coming back to me and kept coming back to me. And so my daughter said, you know, Mom, you should pay attention to what everybody's telling you. You know, you've always been the connector. When my husband was in the military, he was an officer. So I was always like on the officer's wives board. And of course, we always planned events. But it's totally different doing it with that budget than with a corporate budget than doing it on your own.
Exactly.
And I had worked for a while also at Macon State College working for the executive director there, planning events for him. So I started thinking about it, and I told my daughter, I said, well, we're new to Atlanta. We don't really know the business climate here.
political. Mm-hmm. I've been watching too much.
Too much CNN.
Oh, it's Freudian slip.
Yeah.
We don't really know the business climate here. So let's hit the ground running and check out some of these networking events. And what we found was, a lot of events that looked really good on the website, and everybody claimed to be the premier networking event.
Yes.
And I would go to them, and I walked away, and I told my daughter, we could do an event better than that.
Right.
You know, these are chicken wing networking events.
Everybody's oh, I like that.
Here. So that was a little term that I coined. I said, everybody's coming here to eat chicken wings.
And they expect that, too.
Exactly.
Along with the sauce.
Exactly. I think I saw you at a few of them, didn't
yeah.
I? With your plate piled high.
Yeah.
But, and nothing wrong with chicken wings. I can throw down on chicken wings just as much as anybody. But I just had an idea for something different, and that's when it hit me. I said, LinkedIn. What about if we do networking events, but we do them exclusively for LinkedIn members? So people coming in, we know they're professionals. We don't really attract like a lot of administrative assistants and
I totally agree. It's at another level.
The hoochie mama girls with the short, and the guys looking for a hookup. Though I'm sure some of them are out there.
Social networking events.
So we just felt that it was a professional filter we could put on it. And we started doing it, and we've been very successful 2.5 years now into it. So.
Awesome. Well, that tells me what differentiates your events from some of the others.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I can say with Dallas is she doesn't do them consistently. I mean, not to say she doesn't do them consistently, but she is really strategic about when she has the events, you know, where you go to some of those events and you and I've been to, Roger and I've been to them, it's like they haven't gotten new people. I've seen the same people over and over again.
They're following the chicken wings.
They're following the chicken wings, exactly.
Well, I do have a question for Dallas when it comes to LinkedIn and the fact that I myself, I'm on LinkedIn. I've been on LinkedIn for quite some time. And what, in your eyes, in your opinion, is the biggest no-no for people getting on LinkedIn?
The biggest no-no is treating LinkedIn as if it were Facebook. A lot of times, people on LinkedIn, well, not a lot of times, every once in a while, somebody on Facebook will not take the, I mean, on LinkedIn will not take the time to put their profile photo up, or they'll put their company logo up. LinkedIn members want to see you. They want to connect to you. If I'm going to refer somebody, for example, to Angie, who's one of our guests here today, they're not going to get as much going to her profile if there's a logo up. They want to see her, especially if they come to one of our events.
Right.
They're going to say, oh, yeah, that's the lady that I met. That's the credit queen that I met. So it's just a little bit different in that.
So what do you think about the, like, we have a business LinkedIn besides our own personal. What's your thoughts on that?
I actually have not played around a lot with the business side of LinkedIn, setting up a business page. I think I got it started at one time, and I got so busy with everything else, building a group because we have the fastest growing LinkedIn group in Atlanta.
Oh,
I've spent a lot of time on that, but I do need to go back, so I don't really have an answer. I don't know a lot of people right now really that do have a LinkedIn business page, but it's something that I think I need to take a closer look at.
I can tell you this, that we won a subcontracting from that on LinkedIn.
Oh, good.
So it is a value. But it does take some more time versus an individual aspect of it.
Right.
But Roger and I think we've been on LinkedIn since it's practically inception, really, from several people. It's been great for us because we've been connecting with people that we used to work with in big corporate entities that we hadn't connected with. And last week we connected with some people that we worked with, and they started their own business. So ironically, they're like, oh, we need to work with you guys now that you help businesses. That it draws people at another level.
I'll tell you, LinkedIn, if you're going to be connected, as far as I'm concerned, if you're in business and you're not on LinkedIn, you're not in business. You're missing out. It's free. I had the paid model for a while, and I went back to the free because I found out it was working for me. Now, that might change over the next few months because I'm looking to do some different things. But LinkedIn has connected me all over the world.
Wow.
A lot of people are not open networkers. They're called lions. Have you heard of that? LinkedIn open networkers. And people have asked me, why would you want to connect to somebody in the Philippines?
Because
their uncle might be the head of the biggest engineering firm here in Atlanta. And trust me, it has happened. Because of LinkedIn, I've got a German company called Tima, which is a huge PR company that has lots of clients, including this one big client called PSI Technics, that is considering launching here in Atlanta because we met on LinkedIn.
Wow.
There could be some significant business there. Also in Africa, I am connected to LinkedIn trainers all over. So we're looking, we are actually planning on doing a trade show in Dubai, November 2013.
Wow.
Because of LinkedIn.
That's amazing.
Met an investor in South Africa who wants me to come down there and do an event for us. So we're going to be running those out of World Trade Centers in those countries. All because of LinkedIn.
So, I think that's where a lot of people, well, I know I'm confused, so I'm sure if I have the question, others do too. You know, Facebook is about getting on there and letting people know what your status is. How do you connect with LinkedIn? How do you make it effective? Does the question make sense?
Yes. Well, it's a way to, you can blatantly market yourself on there, or you can do it a little bit undercover. One thing that I recommend to everybody is to join groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you've joined a few groups, you'll know that there's an area for discussions, there's one for promotions, and there's one for jobs. So jobs mm-hmm. is self-explanatory, whether
right.
you're looking for a job or posting a job. Where a lot of people get mixed up is if they want to promote their company, they post it under discussions. No, discussions is where you give value added.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, and I'm using Angie because we've been connected both on LinkedIn and Facebook for a while. Angie wants to give some good information about credit.
Mm-hmm.
She would post that under discussions. Now, obviously, the fact that she's posting it there is indirectly promoting herself.
Right.
But if she wants to do a seminar on credit-wise options, she would post that under promotions.
Hmm.
So you just have to follow the rules on LinkedIn, because if you post in the wrong place, it gets kind of messy. I spend a lot of time cleaning up my group because people don't really know where to post, and
yeah.
I try to educate them.
And now that you say that, I've got an automatic post that I've got going out through Hootsuite that I think is posting in the wrong place on every single one of my groups.
Right, exactly.
So thanks, I've got some cleanup to do.
And a lot of group owners I've talked to will just delete your post.
Right.
I try to run a user-friendly post. I don't mm-hmm. assume that everybody knows LinkedIn as well as I do, so
right.
I just move them over. But mm-hmm. then I send them a little note, hey, by the way, you know, post here next time.
Awesome. Now, how many LinkedIn connections do you have?
I've not checked recently, but about maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, I looked, it was 22,000.
What?
But
wow.
you know what? That's really, for what I do,
yeah.
it's not a lot.
And I mean, but
I'm doing this globally. That's why we're taking this company global. I'm a member of the World Trade Center here.
Yes.
And
great
there,
organization.
A lot of people don't realize
right.
that there are over 300, there's 392 World Trade Centers right now.
Hmm. Yeah.
So if they're global and LinkedIn is global, then I'm going to use mm-hmm. people to connect to globally.
Right.
There's a lady who's really the LinkedIn diva, Lori Ruff. I had a discussion with her about a few months into this business when I decided I was going to be a LinkedIn open networker. And I said, you know, people are always asking me, why would you connect to somebody? And she said she connected to somebody once on LinkedIn who was in some other country, I can't remember where, and never did any business with them. But through a mutual connection, she did $8,000 worth of business.
Wow.
And so here I am, have an offer now to go to Dubai at the World Trade Center and do a trade show. Guess what's the first thing I did? I went to LinkedIn. I looked at the filters, at the advanced search, put in Dubai, and a whole bunch of people I'm connected to in Dubai. So guess who I'm going to... I've got
wow.
people on the ground there already.
Right.
That I can
wow.
connect to. I've
mm-hmm.
got event planners there. I've got people there at the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
I've got business development managers I'm connected to.
Well, I mean,
so,
and again, from a layperson's perspective trying to run a business, this just sounds like it takes a lot of time. If LinkedIn isn't my business, how do I invest the time to make it as efficient as you've made it for your business?
I think it depends on what you're trying to do. You can position yourself as an expert
mm-hmm.
by answering polls. There are polls on LinkedIn.
Mm.
You can also use polls on LinkedIn to draw business to you. For example, if you're trying to set up your business and you're wondering, you know, what is it that most people want? Well, put that as a poll on there and see how people respond. And those are some leads for you right there.
Hmm.
And also tell people, join 50 groups.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you have access to all those people. There are some huge groups that have
mm-hmm.
been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You now have access to all those people.
Yeah.
And
I
just turn off the settings so that you don't get an
email
every time somebody
yeah.
posts, you know.
Yeah. Like I can tell you, I belong to my alumni association. It's, you know, they're in Arizona and I'm here in Atlanta. But actually, University of Arizona has a huge alumni association here.
Mm.
So I've gotten some great connections off mm-hmm. that I would never had otherwise.
Wow. Well, that's the key, is connections, and those connections caveat into relationship building at some level, whether it's for someone who's actually looking for a job, to your business actually being able to connect with other business owners out there, or bigger business owners that may be able to, you may be able to do work for as well. I just know that speaking of Dubai, I've been there on several occasions, and it is starting to be the mecca in that region for business developers and business owners. So more props to you on that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, I mean, we've kind of talked about leveraging social media, leveraging business visibility, leveraging credit and all of that. So, I mean, let's just kind of have an open discussion about, I know if I've got all these questions, I just want to ask everybody everything, but I know we've got limited time, but what, do y'all have any specific questions for each other that you wanted to talk to around leverage?
I have a question.
Yes.
I need some help. The biggest hole in our company is marketing.
Mm. Oh, I think that's the biggest hole for any
business. It is hard. Right. Like right now, we have launched Metro Business Academy, which is a second business, mm-hmm. and it's all things LinkedIn. We have a whole cadre of trainers lined up to teach LinkedIn and all kinds of business topics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we've had to already cancel our first training because we didn't get enough people there. I'm using LinkedIn. I'm using my group to get the word out and word of mouth. But it's not enough to get, 20 or 30 people in the room. And so I'd like to find out from the other guest here, what are you doing to get the word out about your business, that preferably in a way that doesn't cost anything? Because if I spend money, then that's less money. I know at some point we're going to need to spend some money, but we're just not there right now. I'm looking for some successful free places to put our events.
What helped me actually jumpstart my business, Dallas, was speaking events. And they were more training or speaking or introduction to what it is that I do. And that also helped me build my list. And when my list grows, I then market to those people via email.
Mm-hmm.
And also another thing you could try is Meetup.
Mm-hmm.
Meetup.com is really, really growing.
Because it expands outside Metro Atlanta.
Exactly. It expands outside of Metro Atlanta. And also just set up a Meetup profile and then direct people back to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Because there are people that are not on LinkedIn but are on Meetup.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree
Thank
with
you.
I have a question for Dallas. Dallas, do you are you a member of the WTC? If I heard
the World Trade Center
World
Atlanta?
Trade Center, yes.
Yeah, I'm a member and I'm on the membership committee.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
Yeah, I have been for a couple of years. We partnered with them. We do a lot of things together. They send people to my events, and I help people. I help send people to some of the events they have.
Okay, I was going to say that. Obviously, that would be another way of getting people to. It's almost like that bartering type.
Yeah, actually, I was going to tell you that what Myra and Roger and I do sometimes is find those resource partners that we would be a good teaming aspect. Like,
yes.
we have an event coming up in November, and Insperity is going to be the big 100-pound gorilla, as my husband would call it, to support our lunch and learn. And then maybe what we could help you find that resource partner.
Okay.
Well, gorilla's way more than 100.
Okay, 1,000 pounds, sorry.
And you have to be careful
it's
with partnerships.
Oh, yeah, 800 pounds, sorry.
With partnerships, I've had good luck and bad luck with partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many years ago, when my husband was stationed in Germany, I worked for a gentleman that sold Oriental rugs. And so I also worked for some other vendors that sold
right.
crystal and different things. And so I'll never make this mistake again. A friend of mine had come into the rug warehouse to buy an Oriental rug. And so I was telling my friend about, you need to go see so-and-so, Monica. She sells beautiful Belgium tapestries. And my boss chewed my behind out when I left.
Oh.
And I said, but, it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, people only have so much discretionary income.
Mm.
And if this lady came here to buy a rug, you were telling her how beautiful Monica's tapestries are,
mm-hmm.
and she left without buying a rug. I've never forgotten that because
yeah.
I have people all the time, every single week, mm-hmm. help me push out my event, or, I'll help you push out yours. And I go back to that. People only have so much discretionary income. So if I'm marketing other people's events, then those same people may run out of money and not come to my event. So you have to be very careful with that.
Yes.
There's some partnerships that work and some that don't.
We agree. I know I agree with you. I've seen that in past too. But I think is sifting through those good resource partners that will be open to that so that both everybody gets plenty of airtime. I'm sure Angie can talk about that as a speaker. We've had that same thing with, as a speaker. We can only give so much.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Have you used the community calendars also?
I haven't, and it's just been a matter of time. It's been up to now. It's just been my daughter and myself. We recently brought on another partner, a guy named Gene Wright, that was working as a business consultant with us, so we're getting a little bit more help now. And I'm figuring out which people are really partners and which aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a good friend, Ann Key Spencer, who has a company called Visual Marketing Mentor.
Yeah,
you know
Ann.
She has probably been my closest partner, and we have both sent business to each other.
Mm-hmm. And I know, don't you do some media opportunities, Dixie?
Yes. Like with the local publications, you're more global, but if you want to build some networks here in Atlanta, for example, and in other areas where they have like the local publications, it's if you write articles for them, and which I'm sure, I mean,
that's a good idea.
A lot of the local magazines and publications that or would be happy to get information to the, you know, people about LinkedIn, and then you can promote your company that way. Or they also will have, you know, print the community calendars of events. So we found that very inexpensive and a lot of times just free for being a resource for them.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Awesome. You got all kinds of great information about leveraging your business, leveraging social media, leveraging media opportunities in general, just everything to increase your visibility. So I think this is very informative for our listeners.
So why don't we go back around the table? Like, Dixie, why don't you give you how people get a hold of you, phone numbers, email, website, all that good stuff.
All right. So the business is Soul Terra Landscape, Soul for Sun, Terra for Earth. So it's S-O-L-T-E-R-R-A. And our website is soulterralandscape.com. And our phone number is 404-787-4949. And then, just go to the website and you can connect with certain people based on what you're interested in the area landscape, or have their email addresses, or just the simple contact us form will come to me directly.
Okay,
so I
great.
Will see that.
Awesome.
Angie?
Okay, people can reach me at my website, which is AngieJenkins.com, and that is Angie with two N's, A-N-N-G-I-E,
very important.
Jenkins.com, and my phone number is 678-802-9230.
And when you said you have a speaking engagement coming soon?
Yes, I do. I'll be speaking at a business breakfast on November 10th, that is a Saturday, for NBAA, Not By Bread Alone. That is a group also on Meetup. And if they go to meetup.com and look for NBAA or Not By Bread Alone, they'll just join that group and then RSVP to the event on November 10th.
Great. And Ms. Dallas?
And for Dallas Hamilton, our website is, And the company, again, is Metro Atlanta Business Network. Our website is www.metroabn, that stands for Atlanta Business Network, metroabn.com. You can also join our LinkedIn group by the same name, Metro Atlanta Business Network. And if you're interested in our events, you can either opt in on our website or on our group. Just make sure you have the setting turned on that says, allow me to receive messages from the group manager. And if you do that, I send out a weekly announcement, sometimes every 2 weeks, about what we're doing. And you'll be in the loops about all the loop about all our events and our training.
Wow, we had a great panel. That was definitely the good, bad, and reality.
Yes, it was.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Angie, Dixie, Dallas, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for giving out such wonderful information and everything. So join us each week, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. Thank you very much out there, and take care and have a great day.